You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans today and Monday, by the way. The long weekend here. How about this one on the RamosLaw.com text line? I love this one. If we could just get a goalie called the deadbolt, then we'd be all set. If Val is the skeleton key, all we need is a goalie called the deadbolt.
The deadbolt.
The deadbolt.
That's good.
Nothing gets through that door.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you need. That's absolutely what you need. I want to transition a little bit over here to the Broncos. Bo Nix joined RG3 on his podcast. And Bo Nix has been, you know, flavor of the week. I mean, it feels like every week in Denver, or almost every day at this stage, it's Michael Penix. Now it's Bo Nix. It's J.J. McCarthy. Drake May even had himself a day, okay? There's been a lot of speculation. So Bo joined RG3, and they talked specifically about Bo's meeting with Denver. Here's a taste of what Bo had to say.
It would mean a lot, and I know that I'd learn a lot and grow a lot, and ultimately, you know, just compete and just be the best version of myself I can be so that, you know, maybe at the end of the day, you work hard enough and maybe those comparisons start to see some parallels truly in the league. Well, I think when you watch, you know, old cut-ups and when you watch what they did with that system, it was, you know, quick game, get the ball out, timing stuff that I love to do. You know, it's an extension of the run game. Sometimes people think throwing is just throwing it, you know, 100 yards down the field and see what happens. I think throwing those, you know, like back out of the backfield rail routes, you know, some option routes, get into some high lows, you know, throw some, you know, quick up and down fades and you know, some timing passes. Those are, you know, what can really open up an offense. That's what we did so great here at Oregon, I believe. And we just took what the defense gave us and it opened up, you know, a lot of our offensive plan.
So, Mark, I've seen Bo Nix in person now twice. To me, and in the back of my mind, when I was sitting in Autzen Stadium this year watching Oregon beat the brakes off the Buffs, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking to myself, gosh, Bo Nix is a Sean Payton guy. I mean, I could see Sean falling in love with this guy. And we had Clatt on, I think it was either in for you or Mike, maybe a month ago or so, and I brought it up to Clatt, and I said, for some reason, Joel, to me, Bo Nix seems like a guy that Sean Payton could find a way to make work and convince himself that he loves. Now, will it ultimately translate to the success that you want drafting a first-round quarterback? I don't know, but I could see Sean talking himself into that. From your evaluation, have you kind of seen similar things? Could you see where I'm coming from there?
Absolutely. I think one thing about Bo is that if you're talking about the quick game, quick decisions, I think from a release standpoint, quick decision standpoint, ball out of your hand standpoint, I think that is his game. And I think he throws with anticipatory skills, throws guys open. I think he's accurate. He's good at that. He's really good at that. Now, I would take umbrage with one of the things he said, you know, that quick game and everything else is an extension of the run game. I hear that all the time from coordinators. The difference is the run game wears people out. The run game exhausts people. The run game sets a tone. The run game, the quick game does none of that. The quick game, it doesn't get anybody on the ground. It doesn't make them defend real estate up front. Like, that to me is such a cliche garbage term invented by a coordinator that doesn't actually want to run the ball or doesn't understand the value of the run game. Now, what he'll come to understand is Sean knows the value of the run game. Sean believes and leans into the value of the run game. The quick game is not an extension of the run game, in my opinion, and I'm right. So, but he is 100% right about, or you are, about the quick game and his accuracy and getting the ball out of his hands and moving the chains down the football field. And I thought Bo Nix, of the guys I watched, was probably, and I watched all the quarterbacks. I mean, I watched every one of them that are, you know, that I from Michael Pratt to Spencer Rattler to J.J. McCarthy to Penix to Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. I mean, I watched them all. I think clearly for me, the guy who operated the quick game and had the quickest balls out of my hand right now, the best in college football was Bo Nix of doing that.
How much of that was their system? Out of curiosity. Because sure, I mean, you watch Oregon and you said, look, I mean, not a lot of teams use a lot of motion. Oregon did incorporate some motion in their offense. Their whole offense, the goal of their offense is pretty much the goal of every offense. But at Oregon, because they play in the Pac-12 and typically have significantly more talent than their opponent.
Right.
They're successful at it, okay?
So, but there's a difference between, like, Oregon. Everybody uses an element of motion. But one of the reasons they use the element of motion is to get a guy running, you know, maybe sure. An orbit motion behind, and swinging the ball out to him on a one-read
right.
route and running people off on the other side and trying to get a leverage matchup on the guy who's covering that dude. So they use it, but there's not, it's like...
They're playing chess.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but for Michigan or for South Carolina, they're using motions and shifts to change strength to
gotcha.
Make... So they can identify coverages and things of that nature, wherein a lot of the offenses you watch in Oregon and Washington and Southern Cal and all that, they're not doing that. So it's more about, hey, let's get an advantage with our speed guy, our running back on their linebacker that we know they're in man coverage. So we're, and it's a one, you don't have an option. Just throw it to this guy. So there's a bit of difference in my mind, how you use motion, how you change strengths, how you use personnel groups. There's only really two teams that I watched, and I'm talking about all the quarterbacks I watched that are potential first rounders or second sure. rounders. The two teams that really did that well were South Carolina and Michigan, where they're using it as an indicator and changing strengths and to set up their run game or to set up their play action stuff.
A little later in the podcast, RG3 said that if the Broncos do go ahead and draft Bo Nix and Sean loves him enough so to take him, mm-hmm. there's something that Sean needs to do to make it work, though.
And if the Broncos do draft you, I would implore Sean Payton drastically, with everything in me, to bring Drew Brees in for you so you could spend a couple months with him to know how to master and give Sean Payton and that Broncos team what he wants you to give them. I think there's no better person to learn from for you right now than would be Drew Brees if you were to get a chance to play for Sean Payton.
What do you think about that? I mean, I'm sure Drew Brees, if Bo Nix were to get drafted, would be a resource that would be available.
Yeah.
But like a mentoring, you know, master and apprentice scenario, is that what you're right. looking for?
I don't know that Drew Brees is going to drop, you know, his kids and his wife and family off and say, hey, I got to go spend some time with Bo Nix.
Papa Sean called me and said, right. I need you.
So, and there will be, you know, this coaching staff is very competent. And Pete Carmichael, you know, worked with Drew Brees forever, and Pete really knows his stuff. And
he's a new hire this year.
New
That'll
hire
be a new
this
piece.
Year. So it'll be one of those situations where I guarantee you they'll watch about a bazillion cut-ups of Drew Brees, and you'll get that.
Sure.
You'll get that.
They did last year in the meetings. We heard the reports. They were showing them what worked in New Orleans.
Yeah.
We saw
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. This is how we want this. This is how we want, you know, when you get this leverage, this is where we want you to throw it. This is what we're trying to accomplish here. So you'll see plenty of the Drew Brees stuff. But the bottom line is, no matter how much Drew Brees comes in and tells you like this, that, or the other, you got to do what's best for you.
Mm.
And everybody has a little different skill set. So here's the concept. Here's what we're trying to accomplish, right? But as a player, you gotta lean into your strengths, and you've got to lean into the things that you do well, and you've got to make things work for you, footwork-wise, timing-wise, mechanics-wise, and all that kind of stuff. So the one thing I would always fear about is trying to change yourself to become that other guy. You're not ever going to become that guy. You could become great, but you got to lean on you know, what you know and how you go about your business.
So there's a couple of really, really good submissions for who the Rockies' cornerstones could possibly be.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about what the Broncos could possibly learn from the Nuggets and Avs, and we said cornerstones. You need cornerstones of your franchise. Mm-hmm. We identified only Patrick Surtain as the lone cornerstone for the Broncos. Well, text line, I'm curious. 303-713-1043. What are the cornerstones for the Rockies? We'll read your submissions on the other side. Matt Smith and Mark Schlereth. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Do you like great music?
Do I like great music?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Of course. And I know you're huge, huge fans of Luda and T-Pain, right?
Me and Luda are tight.
Tight, tight,
we're
tight.
We're tighter than mouse nuts, me and Luda.
Ludacris and T-Pain.
That is tight. Rogue smiled there. I got a little giggle out of her. I like it when I get a giggle out of Rogue.
Luda and T-Pain might, too, if she goes to Cheyenne Frontier Days, because those gentlemen, they'll be there Thursday, July 25th, right now, 303-713-1043. Caller number 4, we've got a pair of tickets to give away to see Ludacris at Cheyenne Frontier Days, T-Pain as well. Caller number 4 right now, 303-713-1043 on July 25th. Best of luck to you. On the RamosLaw.com text line we go. There's only one cornerstone for the Rockies. That's Coors Field.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's about the only cornerstone.
They do sell the ball. Hey man, they were 14th in attendance last year. Do you think they'll slide under the top 15 in attendance this year? In middle of the pack. So there's 30 teams in Major League Baseball. Will they slide in the bottom half?
Is it supposed to? Did you read the Farmer's Almanac? Is it supposed to be a bad summer?
No, I did not read the Farmer. By the way, Farmer's Almanac is eerily accurate.
Yeah, that's why you reference it.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is a farmer up in Alaska.
And he's a part of the secret coalition of the... What is the group called? It's got to be like some sort of Eyes Wide Shut club. They all meet. What will the weather be like this year?
Yeah, all
then
the farmers.
Then they turn the settings on their weather machines.
Yeah, it's just is incredible. So anyhow, yeah, okay, go ahead.
I had somebody, now that we're on that topic, I had somebody in my family when we had that snowmageddon 2 weeks ago. You know they're doing this. They're doing this. I said, excuse me? No, they're doing this. Weather balloons. They're creating the. I said, all right. Look, that's a bridge too far for me. That's a bridge too far for me today. I can't do it. Hey, we brought up real quick before we get back to the text line. We brought up real quick. The Broncos signed a free agent.
Uh huh.
Sam Mustipher, the center,
out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Out of Chicago, the brother of former Bronco. Short-term former Bronco, P.J. Mustipher. So the Broncos have more competition at center. You already brought in, you've got your seventh-round draft pick last year, Alex Forsythe out of Oregon. You've got Luke Wattenberg, your fifth-rounder the year before from Washington. Now you bring in Sam Mustipher, a veteran to compete with Lloyd Cushenberry off to Tennessee. Tennessee's where he's at, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Sam Mustipher joining the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to have that competition. I did enough Chicago games last year. I did several Chicago games to watch him play, and I think he's a good player. I don't think he's, I mean, you know, there's a reason that he wasn't a first or second or third tier free agent. He's a good player. He's a solid player. He's not flashy. He's not great. He's not whatever, but I think it's a solid move by the Broncos. Because ultimately, I don't know that any of those guys that are there, you know, should be just given free reins to run the show. So
not a 1-year seventh round pick,
right? You get eight. You get a free agent in there that has some experience, that can call some protections, especially if you're going to play. Well, you're going to play with a young, inexperienced quarterback anyhow, whether it's a draft pick or whether it's, you know, what you have on your roster right now. So, to me, to have a veteran center that can take some of that, the weight of calling protections and change, like, that's an important aspect. And I, by the way, like, nowadays, a lot of the quarterbacks will call protections and stuff. That didn't happen in my time.
Back in my day.
Yeah. Well, we didn't let...
We walked to the practice field uphill both ways.
Both ways. But we didn't... That wasn't part of the league. Like, we set protections. And which I think, you know, now you can always overrule it. But we did that. And so I just think, for me, I think it's important to take that off the quarterback's plate. Say, this is where we're going. So now you know where you're hot, right? As opposed to you deciding for us, because we're looking at different things than you're looking at sometimes. Sure. You know, everybody's looking at the potential of blitzers and stuff, but that's all I look at. Like, how much does a quarterback study body language of potential blitzers compared to how much do I study body language of potential blitzers?
Yeah, probably not close.
Right, and so I feel like I have a better idea of who's coming and who's not coming based on just body language in general. So that's why I think offensive lines set protections better than quarterbacks do. But, you know, nowadays we let the quarterback do it all.
Well, you're not out there anymore, Mark.
It drives me.
I mean, come on.
No, it just drives me crazy.
They don't make him like you anymore. By the way, quick history on Mustafa. Undrafted out of Notre Dame, signed with the Bears in 2019, spent the rookie year on the practice squad.
Uh-huh.
Injury opened up an opportunity for him in 2020. Winds up starting 7 games as a rookie, then 33 of a possible 34 games in the 2021-2022 seasons. And then last year, the Bears did not submit a restricted free agent offer or tender to him. He ended up signing with the Ravens, played in 9, started 2 games.
So. Okay, so that's what. So he was there a couple. He wasn't there this year.
No, he was in Baltimore.
He was in Baltimore. I knew him, but I didn't know if it was from this year or not. So yes, I did a couple games. I've done over the last couple of years. I've done a bunch of Chicago games. Yeah, it's okay. But I had him when he was playing in Chicago. Not last year. It was 2 years ago.
Chicago games gonna be a lot of fun this year, though.
I'm telling you what. I really like Eberflus. He's a good dude.
Got great hair.
He does have great hair. He's a good dude. But I really like what they've built on the defensive side of the ball and them going out and getting a Montez Sweat.
Sure. I thought, what the hell are you doing at the deadline? I thought it was a Chase Claypool all over again. You're wasting a top 50 pick. Here we go.
Let me tell you what. They got some young defensive backs that can really play.
Yeah, they do.
Like, really play. And they're fun. They're a fun group. They got a chance to be. I think they've got a chance to be pretty good.
I love this. Research cloud seeding. Arizona does it all the time. Talking about how, you know, we're making the weather. Okay. Sam Mustafa and Mike McGlinchey played at Notre Dame together. Good to know.
All right.
The cornerstone players for the Rockies are any superstars that play on the other team that comes to town and draws fans to Coors Field. Chris in Kansas.
That's good, Chris.
Yeah, that makes sense. 4 cornerstones for the Rockies. Hot dogs, beer, sunscreen, and validated parking for Patrick. Mm-hmm. I agree with that one. That one's McGregor Square, Dinger, and the party deck. Cornerstones.
By the way, McGregor Square is really cool.
Yeah, that's great. It's a good vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
You can hang out there before you go over to the ballpark.
You're going to need a few before you go over to the ballpark.
I'm telling you what, either way, you know who's making money?
Yeah.
You know, Monfort.
Little Dickie. depends on who you talk to. To a fan, it would be... It would be Tovar and Nolan Jones to Dick Monfort. It's going to be Shohei Ohtani in Coors Field. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dinger and quote-unquote real Rockies fan, i.e. delusional Rockies fan, are the only cornerstones left.
Oh, man.
Delusional Rockies fan.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they add a second party deck? It's a good question at this stage.
Right.
I mean, can they make the whole outfit? Let's get rid of the rock pile. Let's just make the whole thing one big party deck. Kind of like how the new Oakland A's stadium in Sacramento, because if you haven't heard, they're going to be... By the way, they filed 2 trademarks. for the Sacramento Athletics and the Sacramento A's. Not only are they going to move the team out of Oakland, they're going to change the name for 3 years to the Sacramento A's.
Okay.
This is why people don't like this owner. This guy.
We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball.
That sounds about right. Come out to watch the other team. Who do you want to watch? A's players? I'm the owner. I can't name any of them. Have you heard what's going on with the A's here? So apparently, they've been punishing their own players for participating in a silent protest against team ownership. So there is this place called The Last Dive Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They do like merch. The Oakland A's even contracted The Last Dive Bar to do certain designs, t-shirts for them.
Okay.
So they've got these like Livestrong bracelets, okay, that say okay. The Last Dive Bar. Essentially in solidarity with the city of Oakland, with the fan base saying, we don't want to move, okay? Well, they had a guy who led the team in steals last year, started the year hitting .429, and they sent him down to AAA, and people are saying it's because he wore the bracelet during a game. Not only that, but their all-star from last year, because remember, you have to have an all-star representative, he also wore the bracelet and got benched.
Well, there you go. How do you own a team
if that's how you're going to approach it?
But see, you're used to, you know, the glory years of the Broncos, and you're used to the Nuggets organization that's trying to win championship, and the Avs that are about championships. And like, I'll never forget, now there were 28 teams in the league when I came in the league. Now there's 32.
Okay.
So, but there were 28 teams when I came in as a draft pick for the Washington Redskins at the time. And one of our very first meeting of training camp, that night meeting, Joe Gibbs said, we have the infrastructure in place from ownership to coaching to the players that we're one of 10 teams that can win a championship. And the other 18 teams aren't interested in winning championships.
Mm.
And it always resonated with me that in the NFL, there's probably 12 teams that are like, hey, if a championship kind of falls in your lap, if it rolls your way,
mm-hmm.
great. But ownership-wise, that's like, I would argue right now, is Jerry Jones, 29 years without playing in an NFC championship, is he really about winning a championship, or is he just continuing to build the brand?
Said he was all in this year.
Yeah.
Didn't make a single free agent signing.
Right. They're worth $9
billion. $9
billion. Yeah, he bought them for $180 million or something crazy, or $200 million, something like that.
What's trending on the other side? We're getting down to it with the NBA regular season, okay? And the haters are coming out of the woodwork. We'll let you know what they're saying about our guy, Nikola Jokic, next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Matt Smith in for Mike Evans. What is trending? A lot is trending today. No question about it. We got to talk about our guy, Nikola Jokic, okay? We got to talk about him because they're coming after him. They're coming after him again. And with that said, it's time to hit the hardwood, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. First up in What's Trending, Shaq. Now it's Shaq, says Nikola Jokic. He's a one end of the floor player.
But Shaq would have to be super aggressive. Like, every time he touch it, go at Joker, make him play some defense. Because right now, Joker ain't playing no defense. It's all offense. That's the best type of playoff series to play. No, all offense.
You did it before, huh? You
didn't play all the time. Oh, all the time. All the time. I ain't playing no defense.
Mark, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Jokic is not an above-the-rim shot blocker. Mm. He's not a shot eraser. He's not Victor Wembanyama above the rim. But you know what he is? Rock solid and damn good at switching for being 7 foot. You know what else he is? In outstanding shape. You talk to all of these guys, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid. He's running you up and down the floor for almost 48 minutes a game and still doing it on the defensive end. That's such a lazy take from Shaq. I'm sorry.
I hear something different in that take. That take is like more not so much about Shaq. It's more about how you have to go at Shaq. Like saying, hey, man, if you're going to beat the Nuggets, you just got to keep going at Shaq.
Right. Jokic defend for 48 minutes. Yeah.
Because he's so good at what he does, you've got to be able to go at him. You got to almost play that paint game with him like he plays with you all the time. I don't know what the full context of that, but what I heard from Shaq was, dude, you got to just keep throwing it in and making Jokic defend, trying to tire out. So maybe he's not as good on the offensive end as he normally is. That was more like game planning thing to me. But
he said Jokic doesn't play defense.
Yeah, he was comparing Jokic to his own game, though. He's like,
I never played defense, so clearly he didn't either.
I didn't want to play defense either.
All right, Shaq. Look, I'm sick of hearing these false narratives about Nikola Jokic. Especially, we're down the home stretch of the MVP race here. That, to me, at the end of the day, he's about to win his third. It doesn't matter what Shaq says or Gilbert Arenas says. Because Arenas called him the worst MVP winner in the last 40 years, which, please, come on. Just tell me without telling me that you don't watch Jokic play basketball on a consistent basis. Because if you did, there's no way you could possibly say that. There's just no way. Somebody else coming at Nikola Jokic. This time it's Brandon Jennings, former point guard of the Milwaukee Bucks, played in the league for a while. We all remember Brandon Jennings, lefty, had 50 in a game back in the day. This is what Brandon Jennings had to say about Jokic.
They just have a good team. I'm like, Jokic is their star, but it's just like they're just a good team. Yeah. So I was like, I don't care to watch a good team. Like, we want to see a player. We want to see that. Like, we want to see
him. You don't want to
like,
watch.
They ain't got like a him.
Joker's not him, do you know?
They don't have a him. Like, he don't even care about like being here. So it's he don't really have that him type thing. So it's
but
like,
he don't care, like, but he be cooking dudes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but not like Luka be cooking. Like, that's a him.
What?
That's ignorant.
Right.
What? I'm sorry. What are you talking about, Brandon Jennings? Jokic isn't him? Are you out of your mind? Are you... See, this to me is you're just telling on yourself. Here's a guy, a second-round pick from Serbia, who is completely self-made, who has risen through the ranks, and now to the point where we have never seen a four-year stretch of individual numbers like Jokic is putting up right now. Please, save the he's not him. What do you think happens when Jokic is off the floor? You think they're still a great team?
Right.
Would the Nuggets make the playoffs if everybody else was healthy and Nikola Jokic wasn't?
Absolutely not.
No chance.
No. So here's the problem with a take like what Brandon Jennings just had. You're worried about winning scoring titles. You're worried about winning things. You're the Joel Embiid of analysts. You're just worried about accolades. Jokic is worried about championships. And there's a big difference. You don't understand the value of what he does because you want the sizzle and you don't care about the steak.
Mm.
Like when I go to a steak restaurant, I don't order sizzle.
No.
I want to eat meat.
Extra side of it, though?
Yeah.
Maybe a little?
But so you go for the flash. You go for the, excitement. You go for whatever. He's winning championships, man. I get in this argument on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it all the time. Like, people don't, it really is the selfishness of, and I hate to be old. No, I don't hate to be old guy. It's just true. The self-entitled victimization. I want all the accolades and I want all the juice and I want all the trophies without actually doing the work. Yeah. I have a quote I always lean on this. I don't know whose quote it is, but I heard it somewhere is, that the magic pill that you're looking for is the work that you're unwilling to do.
Mm.
That's the magic pill. It's the guys who want to work, and Jokic is just putting in the work.
And that's no cap.
That's right. You just said Joel Embiid. You just called Brandon Jennings the Joel Embiid of analysts. Well, I don't know if you've been paying attention, But Embiid is back.
I did see that.
He came back this week. They beat Miami last night. They won the other night. 2-0 with him back in the lineup. But Joel, after the game last night, everybody feels sorry for Joel because he couldn't meet the minimum required 67 games played to be considered a part of the MVP race. Joel, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm happy I'm not in the conversation. You know, that conversation has been toxic for a long time. You know, but I'll be honest, this year has been kind of boring. This year, you know, there's not enough toxicity going around. It's pretty fun, and it's also at some point it's pretty bad too. But I'm glad I'm not nowhere near to that. You know, I'm just focused on getting back healthy. You know, obviously, all great candidates that they all deserve to win. It's just unfortunate that only one person has to win.
So the guy that was campaigning for the MVP last year now is glad that he's not in it because it's toxic.
Boring. No, it's not toxic enough.
It's not. Oh, it's boring now.
It's boring, is what he said.
I hear words that trigger me.
Yeah. I heard it at the end. What did he say at the end? This was ridiculous.
I'm happy I'm not in the conversation. You know, that conversation has been toxic for a long time. You know, but I'll be honest, this year has been kind of boring. This year, you know, there's not enough toxicity going around. It's pretty fun, and it's also at some point it's pretty bad too. But I'm glad I'm not nowhere near to that. You know, I'm just focused on getting back healthy. You know, obviously, all great candidates that they all deserve to win. It's just unfortunate that only one person has to win.
No, it's not. No, it's not unfortunate that only one person has to win. It's the MVP. Okay, please. Just because you aren't eligible for it doesn't mean that it's unfortunate that one person, what a whiner. I've lost all respect for this guy.
You campaigned for it last year.
Just pathetic. I'm so done with Embiid in general.
You were campaigning.
So done with Embiid.
By the way, even if somehow like they got hot and they went to the finals,
bring it on.
Bring it on. I mean, first off, we would definitely. He only plays in Philly.
Yeah.
So he didn't play in Denver.
That's all I'm saying.
So, I mean, how?
Let's see him run at the altitude, big fella. Papa Murphy's, home of the Take and Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Man, just coming at our Serbian overlord, our king in Denver. Don't worry, Joker. We got your back. Matt Smith in for Mike Evans alongside Mark Schlereth.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Happy Friday, y'all. See, I told you, Mark.
Sun's coming out, right?
It's coming out.
Tell me. It's going to burn off.
It's going to burn off. That's what it always does here. It's a spring. Looks like high near 77 today. Gusto, around 40 miles an hour. I was actually reading something from the National Weather Service that said up in Boulder this weekend, like 100-mile-an-hour winds. So, you know, batting down the hatches. By the way, after us will be Josh and I think it's Willie P. in for Stoke today. El Patio, downtown, Market Street. If you're trying to go hang out somewhere before opening day, we know a lot of you, well, maybe not as many of you as there used to be, but a lot of you are still headed down to opening day. So stop by El Patio, Dover, Scrappy Will. They're going to be hanging out, broadcasting their show from there. It is home opening day for the Rockies. It's a 2:10 first pitch. Austin Gomber on the mound. The one encouraging part for the 1-6 Rockies is he was the guy who started when they won their only game.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah.
So good. He didn't get the win, though.
No, he did not. That would be Peter Lambert. So.
All right.
Yeah. Any hooser, got a bunch of texts. So enjoy the game if you're going down there. What would you be looking forward to if you were headed down there today?
One, the atmosphere is cool.
Sure.
Outside the stadium. Right, outside the stadium, the atmosphere is cool. We did a couple back in the day when I came back to the radio station here locally and I was doing the drive, we did a couple of opening days. It's really cool to be downtown opening day. That part is cool. And then I love baseball. You know, I love to go down, get a hot dog, get some peanuts, have a beer and just watch a game is freaking awesome.
Got a huge sports weekend on tap. Avs and Oilers tonight. Whenever McKinnon and McDavid get together, that's always must-watch television. Right. By the way, the NHL just released... You know how the NBA just did the latest straw poll from ESPN for MVP?
Sure.
And Jokic was far and away the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, McKinnon is still leader in the clubhouse per ESPN for the Hart Trophy. It says, according to our sample, Nathan McKinnon is going to take home his first NHL Most Valuable Player trophy. The Avalanche star was first overall on nearly 77% of ballots they surveyed, thanks to 127 points in 75 games this season. He's likely to finish in the top five in goals scored and potentially 30 points better than anyone else on his team. So, look, I mean, it's been unbelievable watching what is the best individual season in Avalanche history. I just hope a couple weeks' time, everybody else meets him and is ready for the moment. They need Nichushkin back. They need him healthy. They need Rantanen to be more selfish than he's been this year. There are times this year where I feel like his decision-making, he's passing up too many good looks. If the Avs are going to win the Cup, those two guys are going to be the driving factors. I don't care who they brought in at the trade deadline. That's just the truth. And those two guys are going to have to play well, so hopefully we see that. Big one with Edmonton tonight for the Avalanche. The Nuggets, on the other hand, look, 102-100. They barely lost last night. They do have a matchup at home against the Hawks tomorrow night, so we'll have our eyes on that. That's one you got to clean up, right? That's one you got to clean
up. Yeah, but, you know, you look at what's gone down here, and I understand they're trying to get to the playoffs, and I understand that, you know, Jamal Murray has not been playing, and they haven't been able to find any bench scoring and all that kind of stuff, but they have lost here in the last week and a half or whatever. They've lost to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. They've lost to Minnesota. They've lost to the Clippers. So the three teams that they, you know, possibly could play in the playoffs, all three playoff teams, they've lost all three of them here recently.
So is it a red flag?
I don't think it is a red flag.
All without Jamal Murray, my
All dear. Without, yeah, all without Jamal Murray. I don't think it's a red flag. But it again, it just points to the fact that right now, their schedule, there is no juice to their schedule. They're just trying to get it over with and get to the playoffs. And do you have to, at some point, I understand that you're trying to give Jamal as much rest as possible. Do you need him to play a game or two? Or at least get, you know, 20 minutes in a couple of games so that you're ready for playoffs?
I mean, I think he will be anyway. They might. I wouldn't have a problem. Maybe there's a little bit of rust you want to shake off there, but I mean, it's only been seven games.
Yeah.
Now, he's missed a lot this year, but every time, I would say of late, I don't know, Mark, maybe. We'll see how they play that one. To me, I wouldn't be attached to it. If it doesn't happen, would I think that it's a bad omen? Not necessarily.
Right.
Because they've got almost like a full week of practice where he can get it back going again. And now, look, hopefully, it doesn't have to be the case, but it's certainly a concern. I mean, he's missed seven games in a row.
I do worry to some degree about conditioning.
Sure.
When you're out, like we always used to say, there's only one way you can get in shape to play football, and that's by playing football. All the practicing and all the running and all that stuff doesn't get you in shape to play football. There's a different stress factor when you put on pads and you lean on one another. And I think the same is true for basketball. You can ride the bike and do treadmill and all that stuff as much as you want, but that is not like going up and down the court.
No.
Right, and have somebody checking you and all that kind of stuff. It just puts a different stress factor on your cardiovascular, you know, shape. And so I do think I do think at the end of the season he needs to start getting some game, like 20 minutes here, you know, 20 minutes there, just before the playoffs start.
Okay. Look, and that might be where they end up going anyway. I'm sure the goal is to get him back. It's not like the Nuggets are taking their foot off the gas.
Right.
They've shown no indication that they're about to start doing that.
Mm.
I know what Michael Malone says, and look, I mean, he certainly hasn't prioritized the number one seed over health because they've sat Murray for seven games, and he said before the game last night that if it was playoffs and he had to play, he'd been playing. So, look, maybe there is a part of that. I think eventually we'll see him back, but I'll just say, if we didn't, and that told me that he was going to be feeling pretty good before playoffs, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be a concern, at least not in the first round. That is certainly part of it. So the Nuggets and the Hawks tomorrow. But tonight as well, we've got Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. We've got NC State and South Carolina in the women's Final Four. And then tomorrow, We've got the men's Final Four, which, I mean, NC State in both of them, NC State, Purdue, DJ Burns, and Zach Edey, which, I mean, you like big guy matchups. Yeah. That's a one really big guy and another big guy in a different way matchup, right? Okay, right there. Who do you have of all these games here? Who are your Final Four picks, out of curiosity?
My final four picks.
NC State and Purdue, Alabama, UConn.
I'm going Purdue and I'm going UConn.
It feels like all year we've been on a collision course in college basketball to see those two teams in the national championship. I think they've been a cut above everybody else for the most part all year. And I think they match up really well with each other. If that were the case and we saw 2-1 seeds in the title game in Purdue and UConn, sign me up for Monday night being a hell of a final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, man. And then tonight, I know the Avs dropped the puck at 7, but don't get it twisted. There will be a second screen I have on, and I will be glued to Iowa and UConn. Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark, good chance. I mean, look, it's either tonight or, you know, Sunday night, but we may be seeing the end of Caitlin Clark here in college because she's off to the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
So you got to savor that stuff, in my opinion.
I agree with you, man. That's going to be – that one's must-see television. I'm looking forward to watching – I never thought I would say this. I'm looking forward to watching, like women's college basketball.
Full game. I'll be sitting down watching this full game tonight. It should be fireworks. They're playing in Cleveland. And look, as it relates to Caitlin Clark right now, she's got a shot, in my opinion, to do something for the WNBA that hasn't been able to be achieved yet. And it's becoming more relevant, certainly. But if she can do what she's doing in college and translate that to the pro level, if she can hit the 35-footers at the pro level, then maybe we start to see the WNBA numbers move up. Because that's, you hear the argument, people, why is she going back to school? Or why is she not going back to school? You're going to make more money in school. Well, I think by the end of the day, endorsements are going to be just about the same. But I think she's got a shot to do something for the WNBA that nobody's ever done before.
It'd be, if she could put it on the map. Because, as you know, it's not really.
I mean, it is, but it's not. It is for the people who are basketball fans, but for your casual sports fan, it's off your radar.
It's still subsidized by the NBA.
No question.
Right. So if she could put that on the map, and there have been great players. Diana Taurasi is a great player.
I mean, go down the list.
Yeah, Sue Bird is a great player. Like, there's so many great players that have... But it just has not. It just hasn't caught on. Like all of a sudden, in the last two seasons, college, you know, women's college basketball has caught on. Like people have recognized it. You know, us that are sports fans, but haven't been sports fans of women's college basketball, we're must see tune in. NBA players are going, man, I gotta watch Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
Win the whole damn.
No question. That's not the approach the Rockies are going to take. Do the Rockies win on home opening day?
I'm going to say no.
One in seven, huh?
And they fly ball. The fly
the
ball.
The fly ball is, pitcher.
Yeah, the fly balls are going to fly out.
Aww. All right, get down to El Patio. That's where Dover and Scrappy Will are going to be from 10 to 2. Rockies home opener. Have a good weekend, Stink. You Johnny, Rogue, we'll see you guys on Monday. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.